Hello and welcome to episode 135 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Matty B, joined as always by Bron Allen Harv. On this episode, we have Mr. Monday Qualifier, MJ Duffy, joins the show. Fresh off back-to-back Monday Qs, I think it was, and T12 at the Sanderson. So, good conversation with him.
Guy's hot.
Missed the cut at the Shriners, unfortunately, but we're going to recap the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open in Vegas, won by Martin Laird. We're going to get into the CJ Cup, which is not at Nine Bridges this week. It's at Shadow Creek in Vegas. So that'll be good viewing, other than it's not evening viewing. This is supposed to be the time where we start to get into evening golf.
Right.
CJ Cup at Nine Bridges. We're going to talk about our weeks. You guys played another tournament with some greasy pins. We got lots to discuss. But before we get into all that, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DriveTheGreen. We're also a member of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network, proudly presented by Kinexus. I think I missed that the last three episodes.
No, I think you said it last week.
The Kinexus definitely thing? Not last week.
Yeah, you forgot Kinexus.
I think I forgot Kinexus.
We just said it four times.
Yeah, we said it a bunch of times.
Are they even the sponsor?
What's that?
Are they even the sponsor of that anymore?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it changed there for a little bit.
It did for a little bit.
Oh.
All right, let's get into this week. You guys want to go first with the tournament?
Well, we can start with Deer Valley.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, Bronell and myself had a chance to play with a couple of locals out at Deer Valley. When we played the RBC Scramble there, the irrigation was busted and the course was
crispy.
I guess now that it's good again, we could say that it was in shambles. It was crispy. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Wasn't
official. It's good again.
Why would we have to dress it up before?
Yeah,
it was shit. Now it's awesome.
It is in really good shape.
Yeah. You get mad at me all the time for calling courses shit.
Yep, but you can now that it's rebounded.
No, that was only in the bracket when on social media. On the pod's different.
Okay,
but
go on.
It's in great shape. Great shape. Really good shape.
It's unfortunate. And
that course is set up to be a fall course. With the scenery.
The leaves turning and all
that. That's when you
want
to play that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was really good. Conditions were tough. When you play with a scratch golfer shoots 80, conditions are tough.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names because we're good guys.
All I'll say is I beat his candy ass on the back. That's all I'm saying.
You did. I think I lost scratch six balls.
So
yeah, you're also a
false.
Scratch golfer.
Wrong.
Yeah, pretty close.
Trump gift.
But
wrong.
Now, if you just put all your scores in the handicap tool, you would be, but you leave them out.
Yeah,
so
we talked. So, full disclosure.
That was a thing that happened.
Yeah, full disclosure here. This is what we're airing dirty laundry for Bronell here. RBC Scramble put all of his scores in because it was RBC Scramble. We're not about that life. We put all our scores in. Haven't noticed Bronell putting in much scores since the RBC Scramble.
Yeah, what do I need to put him in there for?
Because you know it's just scratch, so just say scratch.
So what if I shot 70 since then?
70. What are your last 10 rounds? 70, 73, 70, your worst rounds like 76?
I think he would be down to a 2, maybe a 1 and one in a bit.
Well, I shot 73 today, but it was from the whites.
That's funny.
It was fun.
Yeah.
We should play from there more often.
We should play from the reds one time.
Yellows.
It's a little bit ridiculous.
No, four tees. Full four tees.
Full four tees?
Yeah, we're the one holes apart, four from 135 yards. I want to see what the score is.
Or 3 and 14 are 380 yard par fives.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that our course closes in 3 days. So you might get out one more time.
No, I'm done.
You're done? I'm done. I'm actually okay with my last round of the year being Deer Valley because it was in really good shape. We had good company.
You didn't play very good, though.
You know what? I was thinking about that. I played terrible, shot 90, not good. But I had some of the best shots from shitty lies ever. On 8, I had to stand on a rock on 8.
I saw that video.
Post that. On 12, the par 5, I was up by the houses and
I told
hit it
you
to,
to
8 feet.
I told you to move that one by the rocks, but...
Yeah, but then
content's content.
So
so you hit that and then you filmed it.
No.
And then you moved it down.
No, the shot.
No, it worked out, so we kept it.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
But if it didn't work out, it was for sure a drop right beside. Hit another.
Well, we'll never know.
No,
we'll never know.
The world will never know.
So what's the booze count?
So I had that. That was Thursday. Friday was my birthday. We had our first hockey game. Went out for beers after.
Right, that hockey game. Woof.
Yeah, so it wasn't a great hockey game.
Yeah, it was low.
So
first skate, though.
We got some problems. Let's put it that way.
Fishbowl counts as three, obviously.
Fishbowl was three. I had two of those. I had three schooners. So, I mean, like, call it 15.
Yeah.
Those three? I don't know. Schooner three? That's why I marked it down.
A schooner is two drinks, two beers.
A schooner's two beers?
I'd say two. Three is a stretch.
Okay. Yeah. It's perfect.
Oh, I don't know.
Drop the count by three. Then I followed it up with some more. I got to drop three, though. So if I take off that three, I had 23 this past week.
Standard.
That's not bad. 23, bringing the total up to 592 for the year.
Might hit 800.
592.
No, there's only 2 months left.
Hockey.
Two and a half. Hockey, man. Hockey in the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 592 for the year.
Yeah, I'm having four tonight because of me and Harv's bet last week.
I finally won a bet.
Francesco Molinari didn't finish higher than 40th, which everyone knew he wasn't. I just wanted to have four.
You just wanted a reason. You needed a reason.
Need a reason to have four drinks on a Monday night.
So if I'm at 592, you're at 650 probably?
Probably, yeah. Maybe seven.
Yeah, because you have beer with supper.
I can't wait till he just sneakily busts out the total number.
That would be awesome. I'd love it.
On the last pot of the year.
I wish.
Let's get to, that's kind of my week, birthday.
Let's talk about the tournament.
Officially a Masters now.
Yeah, we played another tournament.
That's it.
Well.
So you played a tournament at our local course. We typically pick hard pins, difficult pins, not crazy stupid pins for our Labor Day Classic two-man scramble. You guys played in greensomes.
We usually have half of them are tough.
Yeah.
But not this tough.
You played in a greensomes tournament. Both guys tee off, scramble from there, or alternate shot from there.
Modified alternate, some people call it. Greensomes. Yeah.
Both guys
tee
off.
It's a fun format.
It takes all the stress out of alternate shot. Like, yes. You're not worried about
because you just take who's the best
hitting which holes.
Yeah. You're still saying sorry a lot out there, though.
Yeah, we
a lot of sorry. A
couple times.
A lot of sorries. But the pins, ridiculous.
Every single ridge that those greens had, there was a pin on them.
Yeah. And then I heard...
And insane ones.
I heard there was some... Because we're in tee times, you don't get to shut down the course. Members are playing the tee times before the tournament starts.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine being a member playing...
Some 70-year-old out there, like, probably playing his last round of the year.
Last round of the year,
you rolled through, like, hole three when you come up, and then you could see 15, 16... And, like, two groups went through and we were there, and it was just, like, eight of the oldest men who probably golf every day at 10:30. Like, they could not have been
just
having
the grumpiest
fun.
Old fucks.
They could not have been having
imaginable.
Fun.
I didn't even think of that. Like, the tee time effect on regular playing members. Like, even on ours, we were lucky enough to have the course all day because we had enough people. But for this tournament or other tournaments that are tee time tournaments with difficult pins... You but have members going out.
No there. Tournament.
Think of Player Cup. There were probably members teeing off before the Player Cup, and that was a difficult setup.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but they could have just played for forward tees. But yeah, all the tees were completely tipped out. I've never played that at this course, our home course, never. Before, and I've never even seen probably three out of those 18 pins in one round, let alone all 18.
Well, the pin has never been there. Ever on 1, 3, 4, 7,
five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, like they're just in places they've never been. Never 11 been. Was a complete joke. Like the fact that we made bogey there was.
Yeah, if you watch their story on IG.
I heard there was a group of two of the better players. They finished in the top four or five of Labor Day every year. They played in this tournament. They were 3 under on that hole and got a 10. A 10.
Harv made like a 7 foot. So I hit it to Harv drive. I hit it to like
don't,
20.
Don't pussyfoot around that. Like the fact I hit it in play there off the tee.
Right. Your nemesis hole.
Oh,
it was on the cart.
Was Brona on play?
No.
Yeah.
I hit first though.
Probably so why those guys
I
got
tried
10,
to. I tried to crank one. So
who
then,
did your playing partners get?
They took a courtesy 9, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. We made them
stop. Because it was... But yeah, I hit it to like 20 feet.
They were never finishing that hole.
No.
Ever.
Can you imagine a member finishing that hole? No. They just picked up left.
They would have had to have.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
I hit it to 20 feet left, like pin high. Harv putted it, rolls off the front. I'm like, okay, we're making like a big number here. Then I blade a chip and it somehow gets up there, up the hill to like 8 feet.
The face of the hill, bounces way up, and then like checks like 8 feet above the hole.
Yeah, so he's got like a downhill side hiller and he makes it for bogey.
Otherwise, it was back down at the bottom
of
the hill.
Absolutely, it was.
Yeah, 100%. If you missed the putt, it's down at the bottom. Doesn't matter how fast you hit it.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
Insane.
You had to hit it from below, but the problem is getting it on.
It would never stay below. Yeah. Like, it would never stay below.
Yeah. We made 3 birdies. We played pretty solid. 79. Missed a couple short putts.
We get
one OB shot.
Yeah.
I missed a couple short ones.
Nice.
It was
fun, though.
Fun format.
You had a very enjoyable last weekend of golf. The Deer Valley round?
I mean, I only played three rounds this week, so.
A little low for you.
A little low.
Yeah. We also forgot to mention just one last thing about the Deer Valley. We played a match, and it went to extra cups.
Yeah.
And, like, we're at the point now where I can't even believe how dark it gets when you're trying to finish a golf round.
Mm-hmm.
We had what we thought, maybe 1 to 3 bonus holes if we really wanted it, and we got to the green on one. It's like we couldn't even play another hole if we wanted to.
No, it didn't seem that dark on the video.
It's good thing me and Sean both birdied that hole then.
Yeah. I think we went 5-6-6-7 the first time playing number one, and then 4-4-4-5 the second time.
Yep.
So 5-6-6-7. That's one of the easier par fives in the province.
I was a 7.
Not into the wind, it isn't. Yeah, when the wind dies in extra cups, it's a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah, but also weird wind that day then, if you were into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was a southeast wind, yeah.
Yeah, because normally wind blows from northwest, so.
Yeah, so thanks to Deer Valley for having us out. Thanks to Hillcrest for taking our membership fees. Do we say that?
Yeah.
So, yep.
golf's over in Saskatchewan, pretty much.
At least it's hockey season.
It's hockey season now, and I mean, we're getting ever so close to the Masters by the week.
And I might even play a game of hockey this year.
Nice.
He's back.
Let's get into it. Shriners Hospitals for Children Open.
Sounds right.
Did you guys watch it? I was golfing all week.
I actually watched quite a bit of
some.
I watched lots.
I watched the first playoff hole and then had to go eat Thanksgiving dinner.
You watched one playoff hole. Do you want me to edit that out?
How many were there?
No, there was 2, first off.
Yeah.
But just like in general, should I edit out that you didn't watch any of it? I was actually thinking about this.
I always watch. I'm not ashamed to say that I didn't watch 1 week.
Yes.
I
was thinking about this in the shower. Is golf
shower thoughts, eh?
Yeah, is one of those thoughts. Is golf the sport, the biggest sport that you can talk about without ever watching? Baseball, maybe? Because baseball, you can just watch all the highlights.
Kind of.
Like golf, you can follow scores. You can see what the guys did on each hole. But like football, you can't really talk about if you don't watch any of it. Hockey, you can't really talk about. I guess any sport you technically could talk about.
You might be right, though.
But I think golf is probably the most.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you could neither glance here nor there. At the scoreboard or the leaderboard.
The reason why I bring that up is I may not watch the tournament, but I am following the leaderboard no matter what, constantly. So it's like I might not be watching, but I'm watching what guys are doing. I'm watching all of that stuff. You're just not physically seeing the shots.
Yeah, like three guys.
The shot track or the play-by-play.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. So you know if a guy goes into the water or something, like puts up a big number, you can always follow golf, but you don't actually have to be watching it.
Yeah, you like. Whereas, when you but set up our picks, and I go in there and click on each one.
But
and
like, yeah, like a bait, like baseball, football, all the other sports, like you can't really feel the game without watching it.
But three guys this week got to -23, and they all got there in way different ways. Like Martin Laird was making insane up and down pars on Sunday.
Yeah, so
like that's
watching it.
Exactly. It was
like, yeah, you don't realize what these guys are doing. So that's a really good point.
Thank you. Now I was trying to say it and you guys kept interrupting me, but yeah. Got it in there eventually.
So what you're saying is I'm wrong.
Yes.
No, okay. I don't think you're saying you're wrong.
I actually
not
think
wrong.
You know what? That's a really good point. I am wrong. 100%. Because if you didn't know that Martin Laird hit that bunker shot on 16.
Yeah, he eagled 9, first 16? Of all.
15, I think it was. Yeah, he eagled 9. Oh, it was 9. the out of the bunker.
Yes.
Like if you didn't see that shot, you're just like, oh, he just eagled it.
And then
it was a plugged lie in a bunker, and he could only hit it like 2 feet onto the green. Just
yeah, it's yarded. Shot of the week probably for everybody.
Shot of the it might be a shot of the year. It might be a shot ever.
I mean, it's not that hard for those guys though.
I saw
you just pop it out.
It was insane.
You open the face and you just pop it out.
Anyway,
the save he made on what was it 17?
17 was almost better. Yeah, yeah. Almost. But I like think so. Yeah, hits it way right. I thought he was going up and over the tree. No, he just because it was a trampled down path. So then he hit it under the tree onto the green and then hit like a 27 footer.
Yeah.
To save par.
Then bogey's 18.
And then bogey's 18 after it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a weird round. And like you say, three guys getting there in different ways. Bryson looked like he was just going to destroy the entire tournament on Friday.
Yeah,
or Thursday. And then just kind of gone.
Wolf make like 15 eagles all week or whatever he made.
Yeah, was it Wolf. And then
three and five holes. Or
and then lost in all that was Austin Cook.
The birdie making machine.
Yeah. It was really fun to watch on Sunday, I'll tell you that. You missed out. Well, but yeah.
Had a lot of turkey.
It's funny how we keep talking about or people keep talking about Bryson being long and doing all these things, and rightfully so. Matt Wolf is destroying these courses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like, think like for some of those guys like Wolf, Rory, DJ, Finau, I don't think there's any need for them to get to where Bryson is.
No, yeah. They're not that far off, really.
Well, yeah. So they go on a hole and Bryson takes it over the trees or whatever. Okay, well, those guys are going 10 yards right of that and still having a little chip shot that they're just as accurate with as someone hitting a 50-foot putt.
Yep.
Yep.
So what's, pretty much. What's the point?
Well, like, that and, I mean, the argument could be made that when Bryson's accurate, it's a worthy
and
way of
maybe
doing
those extra 20 yards, 30 yards in stuff like a U.S. Open are a big deal. Like you ran away with it this year.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be this whole ruining the game of golf that people have made it out to be.
The fact is that these guys are all so close together in skill. Like they all do it different ways. It all comes down to putting every week. That's what it is.
Well, and you look at, this is the one thing that I kind of, from Bryson's week, I took out of it. He shot even par on Saturday. He started
get
par.
Get five pars.
He started par, double, birdie, bogey, bogey, double. Like he was.
Par, birdie, birdie, five, birdie, birdie.
He was five over through his first six holes. And then he obviously went on a tear, but it's just like, okay, well. He went from 9 under on Thursday to doing that.
Although Thursday, it did seem like, okay, this he might have broke golf. This thing was he's gonna be 40 under.
We were driving. Yeah. Bruno and I were driving to our round at Deer Valley, and I was like, he's gonna be 35 under par, and the winning score is 23.
Yeah,
like that's insane. Nuts to think about. Like just to put it together every single round. Sure, you can do it once and put these low scores together, but like Wolf is doing it. Way more consistently.
I wouldn't say more consistently, but be the best of those three.
Also,
he isn't though right now.
Oh, I don't know.
Like he is right now, he is, but he hasn't had the best career to date of the three.
But it's also the first year, second year of their career.
Yeah, fair enough. I will say I'm embarrassed at the moment that I said Hovland of those three.
Hey, he still could end up being the best.
He could, but right now it doesn't even look close. He's a long way.
It's not like he's no slouch.
Nope. Maybe I guess he's just not playing.
It's not like he's falling off the earth like speed.
It's not like he missed the cut at the Shriners.
I just said he's not playing well. Okay.
Morikawa missed the cut at the Shriners.
Yeah. Yeah, my pick.
Oh, right. And at 6 under.
Yeah, imagine that.
Imagine, who was it? Killeen? No.
Somebody said 68-68. See you later. Have fun.
It might have been Sobel.
I thought it was Monday Q.
It was Monday Q.
Monday Q? 68-68.
What else did you have? Anything?
No, I was going to mention Canadians.
Well, we got to talk about Laird a little bit more. That
what about him?
Well, not only did he bogey 18, we haven't even talked about the playoff.
Yeah.
You just want me to say four pars?
Three obvious pars on one. The first hole.
Two pars and a birdie on the second.
Checked
one?
It off. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
He long, did make a good putt. It was like 22 feet or something.
Yeah, long
like
putt on the next playoff hole.
That was a nice putt. And he had lost in a playoff, what, like 10 years ago?
Yeah, he lost in the
back course.
He lost in the walk-off hole in one by
yes.
Jonathan Bird.
Bingo.
Martin Laird was the first guy there to shake his hand. We'll point out that Laird channeled his inner Justin Rose by wearing sunglasses almost at night. I thought he was going to finish the round with sunglasses on. He wore them on the tee shot of 17, but not for the putt. But that was a classic iris trick on the camera because you could tell it was starting to look dark on the camera. If it's looking dark on the camera, you got to know it's almost black there.
Mm-hmm.
How many wins does Martin Laird have? Does he even have a win?
What do you mean? Like, on tour. Is this a guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, he won the Shriners in 9 years ago.
Oh, did he?
I think he has...
What? And he lost in a playoff? And he's won?
Yes.
At the same tournament.
He lost in the playoff, then he won it the next year?
I don't know when he won it, but he... Or
he
when
said
he
9 years ago, and the one was from 2010.
I don't know. I'll look. Okay. Looking it up.
He has four PGA Tour victories. Oh, 2009 okay. Shriners, 11 Arnold Palmer, 13 Texas Open.
Well, that, I guess we can move on because that destroys the point I was going to try or joke I was going to try and make. But anyways, Tony Finau had COVID.
Yeah.
Which almost won me the week.
It did. You know, Finau wouldn't have been up there.
I thought Cantlay was going to run away with this thing too at one point.
You can't trust that guy.
No. We're never picking him again for anything. Pools, never. Nothing.
Nothing.
Canadians?
No, you got a couple. You know more? You can trust? Will's Lateris.
Yeah.
That can't be stopped.
No, he can be stopped.
T5?
T8.
Hmm.
But remember you said that stat off the pod? And I said you kind of took the wind out of my sails. Well, it's the Will's Lateris. At the end of 2019, he was 672nd in the world. He's currently 57th.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
What else did I have here? Back to Bryson. He was getting into it with the photographers again.
Yeah.
Saying, have you guys took enough pictures yet? I think that was the day that he shot even par.
Isn't that what they do?
It was, yeah.
Isn't that what photographers do?
Well, can't catch him in a bad light, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then the other Bryson thing, there was that video one of you guys posted about how he was like teed up like 20 yards behind everyone else at the range.
Oh my God. That made me sick.
It made me think of, because the caption was driving range too small. It made me think of our tournament 2 weekends ago there where we were hitting balls before and someone's like, you can't hit the trailer out there. They put a net up and then you teed up a 4-iron, I think it was.
Just, no, it was driver.
Was it driver?
Yeah. First shot, hammered it.
Hammered it right off the trailer.
First shot on the range.
Yeah, some guy's like, you can't hit it.
I hit 1 8-iron to warm up, and then this guy's like, yeah, you can't hit it.
But that's
one driver,
made me think,
gone.
The caption was driving range too small. And yeah.
I just wanted to note, while you were telling that story, I looked it up. He lost in the playoff the following year after he won.
Oh.
Yeah. He said 2009, and that was 2010.
Yeah, almost won back-to-back years.
Course horse.
Yeah.
Correct.
No, for next year. Justin Suh, T8. He showed us.
Who's doing the pun this week?
Yeah. I was gonna
something worked this week. Yeah.
I was going to point out that when we're talking about the Hovland, I was going to say that Justin Suh might be ahead of Hovland in that three. He's the fourth.
Obviously not.
To the pod,
just like when we, all 2 years ago, when we trashed Kuchar and he won twice in like 3 months.
Yeah, he's obviously not, though.
Yeah.
Not that dumb.
Yeah, and then the only other thing, the two kind of feel-good story Monday Qs, Matt Wilson finished dead last. The Martin, bright lights of the PGA Tour just got to him on Thursday.
Martin Trainer's happy sure about did. That.
And
they tied Trainer.
George Markham made the cut, 64th, 15K.
Nothing wrong with that.
A couple feel-good stories.
Yeah.
Yep. Canadians?
Yep. Gliggs, T27 after the Monday Q. Kind of tapered off at the end, but Hadwin also fell off. He was T34. What did he shoot Saturday? 63? And then not good Sunday.
Mm-mm.
Taylor and Dillette missed the cut. Dillette had a 9. Didn't help.
No penalty strokes, right?
None. I've never had a 9 with no penalty strokes, like in my adult life.
Should be noted that...
yeah, it's tough to
do. It's tough.
Like 9 shots?
Yeah.
Glig finished single-double to finish his round.
Oh, really?
On Sunday.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Ace's birthdays, shots?
Ace's, John Daly, barefoot.
Right.
Practice round.
How many pins were in that green, though?
I don't know.
Like, there was more count? Than one, I think.
It doesn't count, then.
Just like throw a million pins out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd count it, but it goes probably in, it goes doesn't in. Count.
Yeah.
And then that guy from TaylorMade played 100 holes or something.
Yeah.
And got a hole in one on his last hole. His 100th hole of the day. Hole in one to finish it. Hmm. First hole in one of his life.
That's insane. Yeah. That's a everything is scripted moment right there.
Yeah.
But like 100 holes in a day?
Yeah.
Like, well, I just watched the video. I don't know what the backstory on it was.
Fair enough.
It seemed odd.
Dude wipes?
We're not quite birthdays. There yet.
Oh.
You got birthdays?
Yeah. Michelle Wee, birthday.
Okay.
Don Kunkel from Golf Saskatchewan.
Nice, Don.
The guy in the orange?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Don.
I think it was like 72nd birthday. And Dusty Rhodes, wrestling pod.
Nice.
Never heard of him. Or is it her?
Yeah. When like he trolls. I said,
when he trolls, he's the best.
Who's Dusty Rhodes?
Shot of the week.
Shot of the week. Which one? Which
Laird? Well, already mentioned the Laird shot, so I'm going with Harv's flop on 8 on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was a good shot.
Like, the pin was so short-sighted, flopped it up, checked it perfectly.
Over the bunker.
Over the bunker, but maybe it wasn't the shot of the week because you left me like a 2.5-footer downhill, and I missed it.
Sounds like you're the dude wipes guy because you missed it.
Two and a half.
Hey, I mean, I'm not missing
put
that.
Put me in the wrong spot, man.
I'm not missing that.
It was the best shot of the day, but wrong spot.
My shot of the week, since we're taking the layered ones out of it, is just Bryson's, what hole is it, 15? Then he drove both days, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, did he like, drive
takes it way over the trees.
He drove it with an iron the one day.
Yeah, I think it's 6. Might be no, his, might have been his hole. 15.
Oh, well, there's a... Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. He drove a different par 4 with an iron. This is the one that he has driver like way left with a draw, and then he eagled it.
The only guy that's ever drove the green there, I think.
Yep.
Hmm.
That was my shot.
Hmm. Dude wipes.
Give it to Bryson.
No. Fuck him. Maybe. But I think I got to give it to old Stewie Sink. You had mentioned it before he came on. He shot 81 on Sunday, 10 over.
Ooh.
Went from like T13 to T64, almost dead last. He also had a 9.
Maybe he got just a little bit too much sun.
He might have. It might have.
Take his hat off. We'll be able
he
to
did hit it. He did hit it in the water 3 times on 12.
He also has a win this year. So.
Real tin cup moment.
Yeah, he's still third in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah. Who's laughing now?
How about that list I saw on Twitter today saying tin cups at bottom 5 ending in a movie?
I mean, I can.
It's a top 5 ending. I love the ending.
It wouldn't be in my bottom 5, but I could see why people would think that. That's a frustrating ending.
Yeah.
It's not. It's the best ending
ever.
Well,
when you really break it down, he's, what, 240 or whatever, hits 3 wood in the water, what, 3 times? 4 times?
Yeah, he makes a...
Just hit 7 iron up to the right. Chip it on.
He makes a 12.
Yeah, but he could just, like, he hits a 7 iron, like 225. You just step on it a little more, and he's on the green.
I'll let you guys finish.
The Lord hates a coward, man.
Once you guys finish, I'll point out that it's in my bottom 5. I don't have an argument against that at all. That is, it's so frustrating to the point that it's not even a good ending.
He makes it. He holes out from 240.
That makes it almost worse.
For 12.
That makes it worse. 100% worse.
Last ball in the bag makes it worse.
Yes.
It's so awesome. That's him.
Not only is it frustrating and it's stupid because you would never do that, but then the fact that it goes in, it's almost worse.
You would never do it. I would never do it, but this idiot does it, and that's the part, the whole point of the movie.
I don't
that's the character.
I get that it's the point of the movie. I get that.
But
I
it's
get
frustrating.
It all.
Just go up to the drop area and make your par. Go to the playoff.
I would actually be
like the announcer says.
Exactly.
I would actually be more content with it if it didn't go in. Hit it to 1 inch. It just sits there and he just has to go up and tap it in. But to get to celebrate because it goes in?
Yeah, it went in.
No. That's an all, it's an all-time gimmick.
He knew he could make the shot. He made the shot.
No. Don't like it at all. Don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
So you don't like the movie?
You know what else, you know what other let's get into this. I'm a huge Major League fan, but the fact that in Major League 1 or 2 I'm a huge Major League fan, but I can't remember which movie it is. I'm so on tilt right now.
Tough one.
The fact that they beat Parkman, number two, they beat Parkman in the ALDS or whatever, but then they don't show if they win or not.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I cannot stand it. At least in one, they tell you that they didn't win in two because it's the next season. So you get to find out.
There's a couple, I think in Little Big League, they win the pennant and then they never show and see who wins the World Series.
Like, what? What is the
did
point?
Did COVID come and they didn't play the World Series? Yeah. Or?
Why are we just finishing movies at like not championship moments?
Yeah,
because the rivals,
they do now.
They're just gonna they're gonna have a PGA movie where the guy just wins the BMW and they don't show the tour championship.
No, he just shoots Bryson 60-59 in the third round and they don't show the fourth over. Round. But he shot 59.
But it was the greatest 59 in history.
Yeah.
Are we getting into news or?
Yeah, we could do news.
Want to do news now or MJ?
News after.
News after?
Okay, go to MJ.
I like doing news after. We did it last week too. All right, we got to get into the interview with MJ Duffy. Mr. Monday Q qualified in like 9 of the last 14 Mondays that he's played in. Good interview with him. Got a little insight into his life, how he sets his schedule, the chase for FedEx Cup points.
Really nice guy. Almost too nice of a guy.
Almost too nice.
Yeah.
But we'll take it. Because I thought
there's no such thing.
He had many opportunities to swear, and he didn't take a single one of them. That's how you know a guy's nice.
Especially when I thought he did swear right off the bat.
Yeah.
When he said fussy, but with the accent, I thought he said...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Fucky.
Yes. Thank you. So thank I didn't you. Have to do it.
So hope everyone enjoys. We'll be back after for the news, and then we got to get into our picks for the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek. Enjoy. Matty B with Drive the Green Golf. I'm here with Bronell and Harv today. And today on the show, we have from Pretoria, South Africa... We're proclaiming him as Mr. Monday Qualifier, MJ Duffy. How are you doing today?
Very good, very good. I mean, that's quite the name. I'm not sure it's a nice name, you know. I would love to not do Mondays, but while I'm at it, might as well be good at it, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the reasons, you know, that you've kind of come onto the scene of late is a friend of ours and a friend of the pod. We've had him on the show before, Ryan French, who runs the Monday Qualifier Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Brought it to our, you know, a lot of people's attention, your recent hot streak and qualifying these Mondays. So we definitely wanted to get you on the show just to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going for you, what's successful in your game that kind of allows you to qualify for, I think it's 9 of your last 14 Monday Qs over 2 tours.
Yeah. I mean, it's so in all honesty, you know, I kind of have an interview today with a guy in South Africa, and I had the same question. And it's funny, though, I've been playing this kind of golf for the past 3 years. And, you know, in 2018, I had status, and I did 16 Monday qualifiers that year, and 10 out of the 16, I lost in the playoff or missed by a shot.
Oh, wow.
So things have obviously gone the other way. I had conditional status, which would have been a big deal if I got into some, because, you know, you can re-rank. It didn't happen for me. And then, you know, last year, I was able to get into a few and played well and missed my status by one position. And so, you know, with COVID and not having status, I'm just kind of doing the same thing over and over. And, you know, the success has kind of just been, you know, trying to put numbers on the scorecard, you know, Got to shoot a good score. And, you know, there was a point where I got really frustrated. My coach kept telling me, like, man, like, you know, opportunities will come, but, you know, the thing you have to be happy about is that you're shooting good scores. And, you know, it's only a matter of time until, you know, 67s and 66s are going to be good enough, you know, and that's right. Kind of what's been happening, you know. So, I don't think different mindset. I mean, Monday qualifying has been great to me, and I think the biggest secret of success that I've been having is just try to give myself a birdie putt on every single hole, you know, like sometimes it's trying to hit a driver off the tee and chipping it from 40 yards, or short par four, or sometimes it's just getting a four iron off the tee and giving myself a gap wedge to do a flag. I feel like I need some spin, and you know, even if it's a 20 footer, like at least you're putting, and obviously you've got to make some putts. But you know, when you have a lot of birdie looks, you're going to scare the hole enough times, and you know, you try to make eight birdies, and I've noticed that you know, bogeys are not good on Monday qualifying. So
no.
If you can avoid them, you know, it's a big deal. So not really something special, I would say. I mean, I've obviously worked on my game and certain things with my coach to get me to a position to where, you know, I can actually execute a game plan.
No, that's awesome. One thing I wanted to ask, because you've kind of had the success, is it when you get out there, it's just, I've done this so many times, you're relaxed, or are you one of those guys who eats the same breakfast, wears the same shirt maybe on Mondays, maybe a little more superstitious, and it just keeps working?
No, I'm not superstitious at all. In honesty, every single Monday qualifier I've played, I've felt different. I've had different swing thoughts. I've sometimes even used a different putter, sometimes even used a different wedge, you know, just adjusting to what's in front of me. You know, so if I get out there and it's firm conditions, I'll use less bounce, or if the green's all slow, I'll use a putter with a firmer face, you know, like, not superstitious at all. I just kind of, I've learned to just listen to my body and listen to my eyes, and just, you know, not be afraid to just adjust on the spot. And yeah, I've gotten pretty relaxed, you know.
Another Monday.
I think now, even with the little boy at the house, I'm even more relaxed, you know. So, like I said, it's one of those things I back myself to get in, and it's been fun, you know. I mean, people keep asking me, is there a secret? I think it's more of a mental thing than a physical thing, you know. It's the fact that you got to go out there and, you know, trust that you're going to make X amount of birdies.
Right. You had mentioned, too, that bogeys pretty much kill a Monday cue. Have you seen that even in yourself, or maybe in playing partners, where, you know, a guy makes a bogey and he just shuts it down, or two bogeys and it's just like, you know what, I'm done for this round. Not necessarily off the course, but you can just see how mentally they just – it's over with. They're just going through the motions for the rest of the round?
Yeah. You know, with me, I saw that in 2018. I mean, all those that I missed in the playoff or by one was because I had one bogey on the card, or I didn't birdie a par five. You know, like that one shot is just a big deal. And I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that you can't get in making bogeys, because I got into Sanderson Farm making two bogeys, and
right.
I got into the Workday Charity where I shot 9 under par with two bogeys. So. You know, you know, you can still get in. It's just the fact that I feel like if your mentality is more focused on birdies, you know, like my coach said, you make 8 birdies and you make a bogey, you're still going to be okay. But if you make 5 birdies and a bogey, you're not going to be any good, you know. And
right.
So it has to be more focused on birdies than bogeys. But, yeah, I've seen some guys, I mean, more late in the round than early, because if you make a bogey early, you know, you still think you can make 8 birdies. But if you make a bogey late, you know, and you're like 5 under par, you know, it's hard to get 2-3 shots back, or 2 shots back with 3 holes to go. It's just a lot more pressure.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. With because obviously you're doing Monday Qs on both tours right now. How are you setting your schedule for this? Is it travel that, you know, the closest ones you can get to? How are you currently setting up?
Yeah, I'm not doing any Corn Ferry Tour anymore. Just because of my FedEx Cup points. You know, after COVID, I had FedEx Cup, and you know, that's when mm-hmm. I got into Workday again.
Right.
And I decided to just do PGA Tour and chase the top 200 on the FedEx Cup to get to Corn Ferry Finals, where that gives you status and you get to play for PGA Tour card. But you know, now I'm really chasing the special temporary membership. I mean, I need about 227 points to get special temporary membership. I mean, Will De La Torres is about, I think he's 1 point or 2 points away from getting it, but he's a little bit different.
I mean,
I think people keep forgetting that there's a big difference between someone like him and like me. where he has status and he is number one on the Corn Fair Tour money list. Like, for instance, this past weekend, you know, they're like, you know, Michael, what's it, Gleick, the Gleick, Canadian.
Yeah, the Canadian, Gleick's.
Yeah, he Monday qualified for Vegas and played well, but it's people are like, oh, as a Monday qualifier, he played well, but you have to understand he's on tour. Like, he's not a true Monday qualifier, you know. He doesn't have no status, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, he's been playing well too. So, you know, the fact that he got in, you know, it was just part of the journey. And, you know, he knew he was going to play well. But, you know, so I'm just going to chase, you know, the special temporary membership. You know, I have 61 points. I think another 30 or so will guarantee me Corn Ferry finals. So I'm going to try and get my minimum 7 invites that you can get, or actually I say minimum, maximum 7. And then when you get special temporary membership, you can get unlimited to try and get in the 125 on a FedEx Cup. So, you know, my goals have obviously shifted.
Right.
But, you know, I feel confident that, you know, I have a game plan set out, and I feel confident that, you know, if I can get myself into, if I can get myself into another 8 or 9 events, I can get to that 288 points.
Right.
For sure. You mentioned the Sanderson Farms earlier, 12th place finish there. What was your thoughts kind of after Friday? Kind of, were you tied for the lead, I think? What was going through your head?
Yeah, it was a strange day. I mean, I made the turn. I was on hole 18, and I saw 8 under par on tied for the lead. I'm like, oh, pretty cool. And I birdie 1, 2, and 3, and there's no scoreboard. And then I bogey 4 and birdie 5 again, and I get to 60, and I look at the scoreboard, and I'm like, holy moly, I got a 3-shot lead. I'm like, what the heck? Kevin Chappell was a 12 under par, and he just went bogey, double bogey, you know, and it's like, wow, what is going on here? So it wasn't like really much of a shock. It was just interesting because it was not what I expected. And so eventually when I got done, I still had a 2-shot lead. And, you know, for most of the afternoon, I was tied for the lead and in the lead. And then, you know, some of the guys came in. But, yeah, I mean, it's just nice to see that the work I've been putting in and the kind of golf I've been playing is finally, you know, showing up when I need it the most in the big occasions. You know, I, in all honesty, I wasn't really nervous the whole week. I was really calm, and it was, like I said, it was really a blessing that I was so calm, because, you know, when I played in the third to last group at the Workday Charity in a feature pairing with Hideki, you know, that I was nervous then.
Yeah,
and I shot 1 over par and still had a good finish, you know, top 25. But I learned so much from that day that, you know, it helped me, you know, at Sanderson, and especially being patient on the back nine, you know, and making eagle and, you know, all of that. You know, you just learn from these other players like Hideki. So it was a good experience, and, you know, I'm just glad that stuff that I'm working on is showing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do you have a guy on tour that you're kind of looking up to right now, or that you have in the past, role model?
Yeah, so I grew up, I was fortunate enough to meet Retief when I was 11. My dad worked with his brother, and I know Retief, he's a really good friend now, and, you know, I actually spoke to him this morning, you know, and so, you know, that's my role model, and, you know, Hall of Famer in 2 years opens is never a bad role model. And
no.
Yeah, he's a legend.
You know, it's kind of, his life story is kind of the same as mine. You know, I've had some tragic stuff happen that kept me, you know, slowing down a little bit. But, you know, he didn't win his first major until he was 33 years old, and he's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, the thing with golf is if you're good enough, it's going to happen. And, I just keep reminding myself that, and but, you know, I have many guys. I was fortunate to go past 2 weeks to become close friends with Charles, and, you know, I've known Louis for a little bit, and, you know, just playing practice rounds with him in Vegas, and, you know, just kind of having the whole South African outlook and feel to it. And, you know, I've gotten some guys I have so much respect for out there, like Bryce Garnett and Henrik Norlander, and, you know, I've known Chris Stroud for a long time. He played at Lamar, and it's just nice to go to these events and you know, being able to hang out with these guys and, you know, learn from them. And, you know, I did a little video for my wife at work day. It was Ricky because his locker was close to mine. And at the end, my wife is still 4 weeks deep pregnant. And we did a little shout out. And so I saw him in Vegas and showed him pictures of the baby. And we just chatted for like 25 minutes. And
that's cool.
He was saying that he may try to put a word in for me with the people from Houston because he knows the owner. Because he practices at the Floridian in Florida, and Jim Crane is the owner of the course there. So I'm like, man, that's awesome that you would do that for me. And, you know, so you just learned that there's no reason not to be a nice guy out there, because golf, we all know golf is hard, and you're not going to get to the top by stepping on someone else because these guys are just too good, you know, so you might as well be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and we found, too, we've had Van Ruyen and Fratelli on, so your South African brothers are definitely good to us up here in Canada. So we're proud to have you guys.
I grew up with both of those guys.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, what was your?
I grew up in the same junior team as Dylan and playing against Eric.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, how's your story go from South Africa to going to college in Texas, now living there? Tell us a little bit about how you came over.
Yeah, so I've always wanted to come over. It was like, I mean, you know, I took English as a first language just in high school, just to make sure my English is good enough to come over, because I wasn't English speaking. And you know, so, you know, I've always planned for it. You know, there was some times where it was very, very scary because I am, you know, my grades as an athlete, you know, your grades aren't always the best, and, you know, you can only get a scholarship if your grades are good enough. And if golf is good enough, that there's only one part of it. So I wanted to come to Lamar, and I didn't get enough scholarship. And so I verbally committed to Nevada, but then the coach found out, and he was able to, you know, get more scholarship or move things around, or not sure exactly. But so then eventually I was able to go to Lamar, which was my dream, because in 2007 they finished second at Nationals, and it wasn't all the Golf Digest in South Africa,
right?
Because there was three guys in the team from South Africa. And so it's just a big South African hub, you know, Lamar. And eventually, you know, Dr. Lamar struggled a little bit my first year, but then my last 2 years at Lamar, you know, I won six times, and, you know, obviously All-American and played pretty well. And it was a little bit of a kickstart to my pro career, and which exactly what happened. You know, I kind of played well my first year and a half on the Hooters Tour and in South Africa and all those places, but then, you know, my mother-in-law got hit by a car in 2014, and she died. And, you know, I kind of took some time off, you know, from golf. And when I went back, my game was just completely lost, more mentally than anything.
For sure.
Just, you know, I struggled with depression when you start playing bad and you start getting into financial hole, and, you know, just everything's on top of each other. And so, you know, now I'm living in Houston, and we've been in Kingwood for a while. We're looking to move. You know, Kingwood's been great, but, you know, there's just a few people that we're trying to avoid every year. so we're Kingwood. Houston is big enough that we can go somewhere else and don't have to worry about certain people. And
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while to get over my mental collapse on my game. But, you know, I've had to make some changes, coach changes, change the scenery, practice at a different golf course, you know, all those things. And, you know, it's been amazing. And I think the biggest thing about me is taking myself out of the equation. You know, I started helping the University of Houston golf team as a volunteer assistant coach. And I really didn't do much. I mean, I helped with practice and, you know, some of the guys want some advice on some of the courses because we played the same schedule as Lamar. And a lot of the courses that they play, I won in college. So, you know, I could give them some insight. And that helped me the most because it gave me a sense of purpose. And,
right.
And you know, my game all of a sudden started picking up again. And, you know, I was able to play freely.
Yeah, do you find, speaking of playing a little bit more freely and kind of freeing yourself up a little bit. Obviously, at Sanderson, T12, with that comes, you know, a decent payday. So does that help you kind of mentally with the, you know, just taking a little bit of the stress off of going in and out of trying to make these tournaments and obviously get your points and your, you know, your way of life?
Yeah, I mean, it does. In honesty, I've had a question about the money at work day, I've had a question about money here, but I don't really ever think about it. I mean, I think about it being an aspect of, like, it makes things easier at home. You know, I have a goal financially to get my wife to a point where she doesn't have to go back to work, which we've reached that goal. You know, especially the first 2 years of the little one's life, you know, I feel like it's a big deal. It's a privilege, obviously. Not, you know, there's plenty of people in the world that work full-time job and raise kids, so I totally understand it, and that's why I see it as a blessing. But mm-hmm. It definitely helps. I mean, I'm so much more focused on FedEx Cup points. I mean, I would say 30 right. FedEx Cup points is way more worth to me than 30 grand, you know, like at this stage.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And now you got new dad powers, so you're going to be even better.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I just said...
Yeah, I'm not so sure what exactly that entails. I need to figure out what it means.
Well, you just lift heavier things and all that sort of stuff. But I just want to circle back. So when you said you volunteer as an assistant coach with the Houston golf team, is that, you said kind of some of the courses that you won on, so are you giving insight that way, or are you just like shagging balls?
Giving insight on the courses, when they need, like, so my coach is the University of Houston coach, and, you know, he considers me one of the best drivers of a golf ball, and I consider myself one of the best. So, you know, if someone was having some problems with driving or a certain tee shot, you know, we'll go out on the course and I'll just help them, like, look at, like, okay, how do you approach this? What kind of shot you're trying to hit? Why are you trying to hit that shot? You know, are you trying to just hit the fairway? You're trying to hit the perfect shot? Are you just trying to miss it somewhere? You know, like what is your routine, or, you know, what is your go-to stuff? Simple stuff like that. You know, just trying to break down and see if there's any way I could help them, you know, in something like that, or if there's something that they're struggling with as far as, like, not being able to focus when they're practicing because they're doing too much block practice or too much, random practice or something like that. So a little bit more intricate stuff, but, you know, it's stuff that, you know, golfers really understand pretty easy.
Yeah, for
sounds
sure.
Like Harv needs to make a trip to Houston. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think we all need to make a trip down there. We're not very good drivers of the golf ball at all.
I wouldn't have thought of any of those things.
Yeah. All right.
Say what?
I wouldn't have thought of any of those things when I'm trying to hit a golf shot. I just kind of like, hole goes this way, ball should go there, and I swing the club.
Yeah.
He's not the greatest.
He's okay.
It's hard. I mean.
Yeah, it is.
You try to get it in the hole the quickest way, and there's no straight way, you know?
No.
Yeah, exactly. All right, MJ, we want to get into some rapid fire here, but before we do that, we want to ask you, Ultimate Foursome, we ask this to all of our guests. Three people from any walk of life, they could be golfers, they could be not golfers, they could be celebrities, but three people that you would want to hit the links with, and where are you playing?
Wow, that is a...
It's a heavy question.
I mean, I've actually thought about that a lot, but I can never make up my mind. I would say definitely Tiger Woods, just as far as, like, what he's achieved and the kind of life he's living. You know, there was not always been perfect, but I have a lot of respect for people that have gone through tough times and, you know, suck it up and take it on the chin and turn for the better. And, you know, so that's one. I think, you know, there's not really much celebrities that I would think. Athletes, you know, I would say, funny enough, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is one that I think I would enjoy, just because he's also kind of like the GOAT in what he did, you know. And I like him as a person. And then The last one, Arnold Palmer, I guess. You know, he to me was just a good example of how you take something that you were good at and turn it into something that's good for other people, you know.
Yep.
So
that's a good one.
And then where we would play, I don't know. That's a good question. I would say, funny enough, Muirfield Village. I really love that place. So Jack's place.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, taking Arnie to Jack's place. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm just going on the golf courses that I've played. I mean, there's probably some courses that I've never played that I think would be even better. But you know, just the ones that I've played.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's fair.
Now everybody seems to love Muirfield.
Everyone loves Muirfield. Yeah.
It's the best. It looks amazing on TV. I can only imagine in real life.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get into rapid fire. Bruno, you go first.
Please.
All right.
Say again?
Do you have any career aces? Or how many do you have?
I have one, and that was in South Africa.
Nice. Okay. Welcome to the club. I also have one. These two have zero. We just got to point that out every time.
We sneak that in.
Harv,
what's in your bag for clubs?
So I just made the switch. I was playing some pink stuff. I just made the switch to TaylorMade like about 3 weeks ago, actually 2 days before the Sanderson. So,
So you had them in for Monday qualifying at the Sanderson?
No, I did not. Mm-hmm. For Sanderson, I had some drivers, some 3-wood. Ping 7-wood, ping eye blade irons, Vokey wedges, and Bettinardi putter, TP5 golf ball.
Nice. All right. What's your favorite side game to play on the course with friends?
I hate Wolf. so I like, I don't know what it's called, but we've kind of created the game with the way you flip a coin on the tee.
Yes.
And all the heads play tails, and if there's four tails and everybody play against everybody else, it's a fun game because you know you just every hole is different.
I like that too.
It's funny that you mentioned that because the only other person that we've heard that be their favorite game was JJ Killeen, who's also heavy into the Monday qualifiers and just missed out on the playoff with you that first Anderson week.
I played a few holes with him in the playoff, and obviously, you know, you can't make a par on a par 5 in a playoff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Bruno?
What's your favorite current country song and favorite all-time country song?
Oh, man, that's a good one. favorite current country song? I kind of like this new girl called Gabby Barrett, and she has this song about how a guy cheated on her. I'm a big sucker for a good voice, and her voice is so unique. And then my favorite all-time country, I mean, I am just a big Blake Shelton fan, so I'll say anything, but all Red is pretty far up there.
Nice,
that's a good one.
What's your nickname?
Well, I just go by Duffy, like, you know, Duffy Duck. That's what everybody called me in high school. My fellow golfers in junior golf and in amateur golf actually called me Fig Jam, and you know,
nice. We all know what that good. Just ask me.
We all know what that stands for.
Yeah.
I think it's just you know, it all came from, we played this tournament and it was a match play tournament and it was teams, and that's kind of where we would play. Like, it was me and Dylan on a team and with the other junior golfers from the same province, which was, you know, George Coutier, Brandon Stone. We all grew up from the same province, and we play against other, and everybody's like, oh man, the tee shot on number 14 was really hard. You know, I missed the green way left. The wind was blowing so hard. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hit it to 10 feet. So they're like, okay, feet jam, you know, like, I'm like, I wasn't saying anything about it. I was just saying what I did, you know?
Yeah. That's you and Phil share the same nickname, I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, except that he's got some bigger coughs. I have to work on that.
Yeah, exactly. What are your dogs' names?
So we had two. We had Daisy, the corgi. She passed away. We had to put her down during COVID.
Sorry to hear.
That was a pretty tough thing for us. Yeah, she had some seizures, and we found out she had a brain tumor that burst. And our golden retriever is Luca. She's 9 years old.
Nice. Bronel's a big golden retriever guy as well.
Yep. Love him.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome. She actually did bite me the week of I was going to go play the Monday qualifier for the Wyndham to try and get some more points. And she tore my lip off. So it was a bad situation.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Well, I didn't do anything. I was rubbing her belly. And apparently, that was like 2 weeks before Cammy was due with our baby. And apparently the dog can sense when, especially late in pregnancy, and becomes very protective of mom. And she just kind of snapped at my face, and she was able to grab on. And as I jerked away, she just kind of pulled it off. And, you know, I had to get like 24 stitches.
Jeez.
Wow.
Wow. What a...
No, I saw that story going.
She's back to normal. The vet said that after the baby's born, she forms a connection and... And it goes back to normal, so that's exactly what happened.
Jeez.
Crazy.
Wow. Well, glad to hear you're all right.
We'll switch.
Yeah, no, just two surgeries later, no big deal.
What's the weirdest moment you've ever seen on a golf course? Like,
and this could include probably Corn Ferry Monday Qs where anyone can play in them.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen some weird things, but... I don't know. I mean, there's, I don't know, annoying and is the same thing as weird to me.
Can be.
Man, there's just so many things. But I would say one of the weirdest things for me is to see how some players that you think are like really nice guys just completely chew out their caddies. And you're just like, what the heck? Like, you know, I played, I'm not going to name the name, but third round at Workday Charity, he was twosome and played with a guy, and he's super nice, and he's always been really nice. But, man, he just chewed out his caddy because he made bogey or double bogey on number 18, which was our ninth hole. And I was shocked, and I've seen that quite a lot.
Yeah, like you think that for the most part, player caddy relationships are very more friendly than business like, even though they are business and there's lots of turnover there. You just never think that you could get to the point where you're just yelling at another guy on a golf course. But I'm sure you've seen it a lot.
Yeah,
it's just something that as a fan you don't think of.
Couple left here.
I mean, and also weird, I would say. You've actually seen some people bend the rules a little bit. I think that's weird. And there's like one or two guys that's like very rule anal, if you want to call that. And, you know, they like if you take a drop, you know, like they literally come stand next to you, make sure you're dropping it from knee height and all those things. And you know, I'm just like, oh my word, this is like, okay. And I understand that there's people breaking the rules, but you don't have to be the rules police, you know, like... I think the weird thing is these pro golfers, they don't know the rules. I mean, like, taking a drop from a cart path, that's the simplest thing. You don't have to wait 5 minutes to call a rules official.
We say that on the pod all the time. It's your job. You know, you should know the rules.
Yeah. Back to the caddy thing.
Yeah,
like,
unbelievable. I mean,
if you're getting that mad at your caddy, like... It's almost more your fault than his fault,
yeah,
isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Why are you relying that much on your caddy for it to be his fault?
Yeah.
Well, this situation was different because the guy was like, hey, man, like, I've hit four perfect swings and I've made one bogey and two double bogeys. And this is unbelievable. I hit the shot and it stays up on the fringe on number 18 and on the back fringe. And it's like a dead downhill fast putt. And then he three putts it. And he's like walking to the first tee and he's like chewing his caddy out. He's like, you know, like, what is going on? And then the caddy, you know, respectfully doesn't say anything. And then he tells his caddy, he's like, well, this is where I need you to say something. What are you going to say? And his caddy was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. He's like, well, I just need you to say something. So it was like one of those dorky, you know, kind of like arguments. You don't know what to say.
Nice.
So we're going to assume that your favorite course in the USA is Muirfield Village, but have you been to Canada and do you have a favorite course up here?
I have been to Canada. I played the Monday qualifier and I've only played one golf course in Canada, so I guess that's my favorite.
Yeah,
fair.
For sure it
easy,
is.
Easy answer.
Which one was it?
Yeah, I think it was called Heron Lakes, maybe.
Okay.
That sounds right. Yep. Sounds right. All right, last one. Big question here to turn the tide for the interview. Are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
Definitely a Coke guy.
Yeah. Knew it.
Automatic.
Automatic.
Everyone is, so.
Lots. We get more Coke than Pepsi.
Why you got Pepsi?
Yeah, no, I'm Pepsi, yeah.
One guy.
One of us is.
Matty B's Pepsi.
One goofball.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have Pepsi in South Africa, so I didn't grow up with Pepsi.
Right. Van Ruyen said the same thing, and we argued about it afterwards. If you never had Pepsi growing up, then you can never be a Pepsi guy.
Mustn't be that good if it doesn't even make it over there.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and plus, in all honesty, the products, the Coke products in South Africa is about 5 times better than the Coke products over here. Because even though it's an American company, in South Africa, all of our stuff is made with cane sugar, which is healthier and sweeter.
Yes. Wow, this is like a throwback to to Van Ruyen. Yeah, he said the same thing. Yeah. All right, MJ, that's everything we got for you. So we appreciate Mr. Monday Q joining us. It was a pleasure getting to know you, and we'll be definitely following your journey on the tour this year and watching intently
for
Monday
Q. Thank you guys for making time for us near infants.
Yeah. No, we appreciate you making time for us. So
thanks, man.
Big thanks for MJ for joining us. That guy's story is something else. Really got into the deep dive of his current situation. And, I mean, he's got a 7-week-old. So to go on the road for Monday Qs and just that's all he's doing now. Monday Qs get the points.
Just live for the pressure because now he's got another mouth to feed. And
yeah, can you just imagine, the mindset to have to just birdies all day. That's all. I mean, technically that should always be your mindset, but just it's a different beast Monday qualifiers.
Yeah.
I think some guys probably get a little bit too antsy, whereas he's just like, yeah, whatever, free balling it.
Been here before. I've done it 9 times in the last 14. What's another Monday? Yeah.
But I did like his answer to the nickname question too.
Big Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I enjoyed that. We didn't ask him what his real name was, though. But
nope. Let's get into...
I still think it's Michael John.
I think it's Matthew Joseph.
It might be like something like Mario Jr.
No, I don't think so. We could probably noodle so. Anyways, quick hits.
Quick hitters. Next.
Yeah. Video of Rory trying to do the Bryson thing, but it just seemed a lot smoother and...
Yeah,
some would say sexier. And
didn't even look like he was swinging that hard.
No, but he got it up to 191 ball speed or something like that.
It's nuts to just find that tweet. You go find the video. It looks no different than his normal swing, but yet it's Bryson level stuff. Yep. Okay,
not
so
safe for work.
Similar to Tony Finau's video where he got it up to like 187 ball speed did not change his swing all that much.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so you're telling me you could do this without gaining 35 pounds?
Next.
Interesting. Yeah, next.
It was something. Bit of an odd one here. Morikawa and Patrick Reed can win the race to Dubai without ever actually playing. Well, Reed played this week, but Morikawa could win it without ever actually playing an event on the European Tour.
Is it WGC related?
It's those majors. And the major counts too. And with COVID shutting down all of those events and the ones they have been playing not being worth as much.
Wow.
He's in like second behind Reed right now. Hatton might have jumped him with winning this, but
yeah.
But there was a possibility when that headline came out that he could win.
Yeah. That's sick, yeah.
Because the BMWs that they just played is one of the top Euro Tour events, right?
Yeah, it'd kind of be probably be kind of like the players.
Yeah.
I'm glad you read that article because I posted it and never read it.
It does sound like something you do.
Yeah.
Moving
on. Busy golf.
A lot of the pod content that gets posted to that group is more of just like read the headline and not the story.
And make your best guess of what the headline meant.
What could this mean?
Just a dump zone.
We might as well get to it. European Tour, the BMW European PGA Championship. Tyrrell Hatton won.
Big time.
Yes, he did.
By a few strokes.
A couple, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was by like three or four, I think.
He wore a hoodie all week, which was making
interesting
headlines.
Interesting. Player golf.
Yeah.
Go get yourself one.
People need to stop
promo code
bringing that up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You can wear whatever you want.
Like, let's not... It's not like some raggedy-ass hoodie that's been through the wash.
It's not Bill Belichick's hoodie.
Exactly. That's where I'm going
with. It's not a gray and green 10-tree hoodie.
Yeah, it doesn't have...
Ooh, there's a dig. There's a dig.
It doesn't have beer stains all over it, grease stains. Like that hoodie's nicer than most of the suit jackets I own.
Yeah. that gray player hoodie I have, I'm wearing it every single day this winter. I might wear it every single day.
Yeah, it's the best.
Who cares?
I take a sweater.
Is that a sweater at work? No.
I have a zip-up sweater at work. It's irrelevant what I wear to work because I just put that thing on because I'm always cold.
And you're like Mr. Rogers.
Sure.
Come in, change your shoes, put your little zip-up sweater on and start your day.
I take my winter coat off and I put that sweater on. I wear the same thing every day.
Yep, and no one cares.
No one gives a shit.
Not a soul.
Not a soul.
If your wife was at your work, she would say something, but...
Yeah, another fun fact is, do you ever like think of that when you go to work or what you're wearing at work? It's like, I shouldn't wear the same thing two or three times a week. Dirty or clean regardless. But it's like someone will notice what I'm wearing, but yet can you name what anyone else at your work has worn all week?
Not one person.
Exactly. So you worry about it yourself, but yet you can't think of anyone else wearing the same thing in a week.
If someone wears something,
obviously they can't do it to you.
Yeah, if someone wears something similar to me, I might point it out. Like,
yeah, you might notice
we're both wearing plaid today.
Yeah, and then later in the week.
I didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And then later in the week.
Someone always says that.
Yeah.
Notice it later.
Yeah.
Because you remember the first
time. I wear something different to work every day because I work at home in my Gitch, so I change my Gitch every day.
That's fair.
Perfect.
I'll wear the same. I'll try to get two or three wears of the same pair of pants every week. And then I'll just hope that no one notices.
Oh, yeah. I'm in a multiple pair of pants per week guy.
Who cares?
Are we
next.
Still doing news or next?
No, we're still on the European Tour.
Oh, right. The hoodie thing.
The hoodie. This gets him to top 10 in the world for the first time ever.
Yeah, that's insane.
Here's the big headline.
Good for him.
Jazz, Janet Tawananon, finally dropped on the official world golf ranking down to 60th from 56.
Oh, is he playing this week at the CJ Cup?
I didn't see his name on there.
He's losing his wins.
Yeah.
All his big ones. Well, I mean, playing in all those WGCs and finishing
dead last.
He's
down 20 spots in 2020. He started end of 2019 at 40th.
Yeah.
So it's finally...
it's catching up.
Catching up to him. One cool shot there, Justin Rose kind of was on one, standing on one side of a ditch, the ball on the other, and
he was
using
cool,
his driver. So that was an interesting shot. And then someone made a pretty ballsy bet of 20 head-to-head.
Yeah, 20-leg parlay. 20 of head-to-head
parlay.
Matchups.
Yeah.
That's insane that they allowed that many to be parlayed together.
And I looked at them like they weren't like obvious ones. Like he had some pretty big upsets there.
But the thing that, the gambling service that I use, they have three people head-to-heads.
Yes.
For that reason. Because three is significantly more difficult. Whereas this one was just like coin flips. It's just head-to-heads. It's like this or that.
And he won $700K.
$700K on what? But $3? A buck?
Oh, a buck.
$1, yeah. So why wouldn't you put that together?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably does it every week.
Yeah, a buddy of mine got 18 out of 20 the other day.
Yeah, and his was three, right? Yeah.
Guy wears plaid at work. Works with me.
Didn't get the memo.
Threesomes, yes. Which
is threesomes
even way harder.
Way harder.
Yeah.
And wasn't his $1 million?
Yeah. Kevin Na fucked him over.
And someone else.
Ben Ann.
Oh, right. Ann and Na.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Is that a palindrome?
sodium yes. and whatever the other one is.
But I don't think they're palindromes when they're two letters, are they?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's like a, you need a certain amount
only,
of letters.
He only made it's only 400K if it's Anna. Less than
that's a palindrome.
Than Hatton did this week. So Hatton made 1.1 and he made 700K.
Yeah. Nuts.
His was harder though.
Probably.
Well, if you put Ann and not together, it's a palindrome.
Next.
Yes, that's what I said, Anna.
Yeah. Golfer in Colorado got gored by an elk and it split his kidney right in half on the golf course.
That's a fun news item.
Could you imagine? He said in the article that the elk were kind of like following them, their group. So I don't know if one of them had some...
They had a gallery.
...certain kind of cologne on or something that got the elks going. But, yeah, just ran them right through. And then you had to go to the hospital. Survived, but that'd ruin your Saturday.
Good news. Good news. Wonder what he was shooting.
Maybe made it all up.
made it all. He was just walking in the woods.
Yeah. Next.
Next.
This one I thought was kind of fun. The U.S. Senior Women's Amateur... they've had a quest to play in all 50 states. They're going to accomplish it in 2022 when their tournament goes to Alaska.
Wow.
Thought that was kind of neat.
That is neat.
They're going to play it at night when it's like light out all the time?
Well, that's what I thought. Like, they better be able to sleep in the not dark because there's only get like 3 hours of dark during that time.
Yeah.
Late July. So.
Wow. Well, they blackout blinds.
I have no problem sleeping in...
Me neither.
Light.
Bright light. I could fall asleep in here in 5 minutes. Yeah. Right now.
Well, there's two light bulbs out in this four light easier, bulb but studio.
But if you fix them, you
definitely made it easier by letting two of your lights burn out.
Yeah.
They're high up. I can't reach them.
Well, at least he fixed the clock.
Yeah, the clock's right.
Next.
There's cold beer every week.
So. Major this week. KPMG. Women's PGA.
Yep.
Se Young Kim. First major, 11th win.
You say see, and I say say.
Show myself.
Put your mic down.
Brooke, sixth, but made enough money to pass Lori Kane for the all-time
money list. What? How many top tens in majors does she have now?
A tons.
Lot. I would have said 1,000, but I don't know.
Weeksy posted it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. I watched some of that before the final round yesterday.
Yeah, that was on NBC, right?
Yeah, it was some good viewing. But again, she had, I think she had a 3-shot lead at the time I was watching it, so wasn't a ton of drama. So
right.
Didn't get a ton of my time, but.
Yeah, next. Champions Tour, the SAS Championship. Ernie Els gets his second win. Betting favorite, Jim Furyk finished 9th. You guys see that picture of the trophy?
Yeah. What did we say about Furyk last week? Were we talking about that?
Yeah, he was mortal lock to win.
Yeah.
No, I said, is Els playing? And you said, yeah. He's like
third. He was second on the power rankings.
Yeah, second. Yeah.
Right. One. But the trophy.
Here's what should have been dude wipes. Bernhard Langer, +2 in the final round. Went from like, if he would have shot even, he would have been like 5th. And he finished like 13th. That's dude terrible wipes. For that guy. Yeah, that might as well be
him.
A miscut.
Yeah. That's not like
over
him.
Par. But let's get back to the trophy here. Let's not gloss over the important stuff.
Oh, you mean the exact trophy that the LPGA handed out last week?
The exact trophy. It is the exact same trophy.
Cleaned out the beer.
Yeah.
Gave it to Ernie.
It is. If it isn't the exact, it was a 2-for-1 special.
Yeah.
2 for $29.99.
It's the same trophy. Like, it is the exact same trophy.
It's just a glass thing. So
it's
cheap.
Have we seen both of them in the same room together? And I'm going to find the winner's picture because we have that picture of her on social media, but when she actually won it, holding it up side by side with Ernie.
And I'm going to go back to it. I'm pretty sure the Corn Fairy had a very similar trophy, if not the same trophy, like 3 or 4 weeks back.
Like, it is the exact same trophy.
It's a conspiracy is what it is. Corn Fairy Tour, Orange County National Championship presented by Knight 39. Trey Mullinax.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
I do remember.
Sure,
him.
I do. Very well. We'll never forget him.
Unbelievable trophy. Like a statue of like a knight.
Yeah, cool.
Like displayable.
Finally.
Svensson, 15th. Jake Knapp, 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pendrith, miscut. On a bit of a skid.
Weird. Yeah, we better get back on the pod.
But also, he's probably mailed it in. He knows he's going to PGA Tour next year.
Yeah. But that's the thing is they keep it, like it's a longer season. So, yes, he knows. But at the same time, if he's looking for the points side of things, still got to play well.
I was going to bring it up when we were talking to Zalatoris and the other thing. Like they should have like a mid-season call-up thing.
Well, they kind of do. That's what...
Well, yeah, but I don't know. There
some of the guys
like
get it. Like Zalatoris right now.
Yeah, like top five, like maybe it's not 25 that automatically get it. Like maybe the first half of the year they call it
10.
Five.
Yeah, 5 to 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And then it's just like top 15 in the playoffs go up.
We'll put together, table that. Let's table this. And
put a pin in it.
We'll bring it up.
Put a pin in it.
Let's put a pin in that one.
And then the only other thing I had here.
Next.
Aaron Rye, who won on the European Tour last week, set the Guinness Book World Records for most consecutive 10-foot putts made at 207.
I thought it was 4-foot putts.
No, 10-foot.
10-footers.
207 in a row.
I read 4-foot. I don't know what my mind was doing, but yeah, 10-foot is insane.
Yes.
How many do you think you'd make?
In a row. Inside or at 10? Like, no, it's inside, right?
You'd find... 10?
No, but like, no, this is like the stat contest. Exact 10?
Yeah, it was like a thing that you set out and did.
10-foot putts.
Oh.
It wasn't like
over accumulation of rounds.
It was like they brought in someone from Guinness and he just cranked off 207.
10-footers. How many in a row could I get?
Dead straight?
Half. I don't know. Probably the most comfortable putt he's ever had.
Yeah, I assume dead straight.
Yeah.
10-footers.
I think I make like 4.
In a row.
Like
to start.
Like cold? Yeah, like if I got like a warm-up and said, okay, this
is my
time.
You could practice the putt. I think you could practice putting ahead of time.
Okay.
Like you could get
the... So if you miss the first one, you're toast, or does he get a couple stabs at it?
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, like, I would like a couple stabs. You miss the first one, then you start another one?
Yeah, I would think
he
gets a couple.
Yeah, I'm saying I'd go until I hit 3 in a row, then I say, okay, I'm starting now.
If I'm going to try to make a bunch of free throws in a row, if I miss the first one, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm starting now. No, now.
Yeah.
No, now. starting now.
And then once he makes one, then he started.
Yeah.
So even then, say it's that. Once I said, okay, I'm starting, I bet you I could hit 7?
I don't know. It's for surely under 10 for all three of us.
I would like to know if someone on the PGA Tour... The best putter on the PGA Tour.
That's Danny McCarthy this year.
Yeah. Just ask him. Do you want to do this and see how many he gets?
Wasn't very good at putting this week, though.
I don't know if 207. I thought it was in round 10-footers.
No.
Like all different.
No, that's not even a possibility.
I don't think so either. That's why I thought it was amazing when I heard the stat.
Yeah. Still impressive, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to do pick recap?
Yeah, let's get into picks. We're at an hour and 20 minutes.
Holy moly. Okay, pick recap for the, what's it called? Shriners
Hospitals for Children Open.
Yep. Surprise, surprise, I won the week again. I'm at 10 points. Randy,
good
who
pick.
Is irate.
What's going on this week?
Randy, this who is irate, by the way, is at 2 points. Maddie B and Brona both at 0.
Yeah, full disclosure, we forgot Randy's picks on the pod last week.
Really?
I'm going to say Randy forgot to send him in.
I was going to say he didn't get him in on time, but...
Yeah, I didn't see him.
But anyways, I had Bryson 8th.
I don't care about them, so...
Matt Wolf 2nd. Matt Wilson, unfortunately, missed the cut for a 20... That's 67th for a 26 average.
Yeah, you had the best two players by far in the tournament.
He had the best two, and then he said, well, I have the best two, so I can afford to take the Monte Q guy.
Yes, I said that on the pod last week.
Yeah.
And it happened.
You said you asked if someone had the stones. I did.
And
still won the week.
Yeah.
Who did I take ahead of Wolf?
Don't remember.
Colin Morikawa.
Oh.
Anyways, we'll get to your blunder of a pick that is every week now. But Matty B finished 2nd. Cantlay 8th.
Full disclosure, Finau had COVID. I picked Finau.
Yes, that's right. You
and
picked
then
Finau.
Swapped it to
I
Cantlay
wanted
on Thursday.
Cantlay not have been your dude wipes?
Well, nah. Could have been.
Yeah. Anyways, Cantlay 8th. Webb Simpson 13th. Doc Redman missed the cut for a 29 average. Brownell.
You were 26? He was 29?
Yeah.
Another grease job, hey?
Kind of. He should have won. Like, Cantlay shouldn't have been that bad.
Yeah, I forgot about Cantlay, dude wipes it. Maybe I just
Brodel erased McCarthy, that guy. 57th. Damon, 58th. Morikawa missed cut 67 for a 61 average. Randy, not applicable.
Not applicable.
He wasn't, sorry, Randy. He wasn't happy.
You got his text, too, didn't you?
Yeah. Well,
I just forgot to read it.
Came in late, but...
Who cares?
Anyways.
All right.
CJ Cup cares.
CJ Cup.
CJ Cup at Shadow Creek.
Yeah.
Again, like I mentioned in the
intro. It's just tough because now there's going to be an asterisk beside the winner this year.
All year. Because Randy didn't get his picks in.
Yeah.
And this is the site of the Tiger Phil match, and neither of them are playing.
Yes.
Phil's playing Champions this week.
I'm just rattled that...
Phil should play Champions every week.
This is where we typically start our night golf.
Well, the Asian swing, yeah.
Mm. Get to watch them all at night. Not anymore. Just regular ho-hum. But Shadow Creek is nice. So
luckily, golf season's over.
But they have lights there, so maybe they will just play.
I wouldn't mind. Well, playoff won't be a worry, that's for sure. Yeah, stacked field. Limited field. 74 players?
Yep.
Yeah, did I read today that Brooks needed a sponsor's exemption to get in?
Yeah, there's like 7 sponsor's exemption. Sense. Well, because they don't qualify for them, so they...
Brooks didn't qualify?
I don't know. He won it 2 years ago, probably should have. You must have misread.
Don't know.
No, I didn't misread it.
Well, it's
Sobel posted it.
You don't have a good track record because you just thought we were talking 4-foot putts. Is it 10-foot putts?
That's a good point. But yes, there was Sobel a significant roster of people that needed sponsors.
Fleetwood needed one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems weird for Brooks.
Canadians, Connors, Hadwin, Hughes, Taylor.
The big four?
The four. Four of the big
six.
Seven, eight.
Yeah. Eight.
Whatever.
They're all friends of the pod, so they're all big.
Picks. Harv's first.
Harv's first picks.
This one might shock you guys.
Dustin Johnson.
Nope.
Wow.
My new guy. Hottest guy, too.
Matt Wolf. Matt Wolf. Wow.
That's a no-brainer. I thought
you were going Zalatoris, maybe.
You know what?
He's not in.
No, he's not.
As much as Matt Wolf is a no-brainer, it's like hard to believe that he could go 3 in a row.
Yeah, it is. But like, again...
But you've said that before on this pod.
I know.
I have 10 people points. Have done it. You guys need a win here, so
yeah.
I'm going with my guy.
Jeez.
This one's worth 2, hey?
Yes.
Yeah,
this one's worth 2.
I know Brock wants...
It's Bronel, but whatever.
Yeah.
You haven't done a Brock in a while.
So. It has been
I'll
a while.
Let it go.
It has been a while.
I know he wants John Rahm, so I'm going to give him John Rahm.
Okay.
I'll take DJ.
I didn't want John Rahm. Oh, no.
You're going to give Harv John Rahm?
You can have him. I want my guy. X. Oh, always.
So you're giving him JT then?
Sure.
I'm not even taking JT.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's so far ahead now, he's going to take Matt Wilson again.
Yeah. You should not know. Even in the tournament. You should know who X. I'm taking. I'm so far ahead. I'm taking my guys. Just make the pick for me.
I don't even know.
Rory McIlroy.
Oh, your boy. Yeah.
Oh, now I got the decision.
JT or Rahm?
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, you can go deeper down if you want.
No. I'm going to take JT. DJ but, and JT.
Whatever. I'll take my guy. I'll take Rahm.
Yeah. You have to. You might be back in it. You might be
if
back
I got
in
X and Rahm, I got a chance.
Yeah. We're only taking 3 guys, right?
Yep. This is where it gets tough. Yep. Not many guys outside of 50 in here, but...
Oh, I forgot that was a thing.
I got to narrow down to 3.
Well, take Ian Poulter. I'm sure Ian Poulter's 50, so you're probably 51. You probably take him.
No, I'm not taking him. I'm going to take Alex Noren.
Wow.
I had him right here. I'm like.
I had him written down, my third guy.
All I was looking at is Ian Poulter, the next guy on the list. Not that I was taking him, is Noren. I'm like, Harv's taking Noren for sure.
He was so hot before. Well, he's taken
like
a few weeks off.
In the world.
Hasn't he taken a few weeks off?
I was down in Noren, Spieth, and Matty B's Hubbard.
Siwoo Kim in the top 50?
I have no idea.
Okay, can I take him anyway? And then we just won't look?
I don't think he is.
No. Can't find him.
Siwoo Kim.
Any
easy
reason?
Pick.
He's not in there.
Good.
Is he even in the top 100?
You're up. Well, I would certainly hope so.
Well, try again because I don't think he is.
Siwoo Kim is in the top 100. He's finished 8, 37, 44, 39, 3, 13, 41, 46, 18.
Where do you think he'd be placed right now in the world?
Siwoo Kim?
Yeah.
61.
91. Found him finally.
Oh, okay.
Right ahead of Norton.
Really dragging this one out.
He's taking Corey Connors.
I was thinking about it because we've been talking Monday Q all day.
He's taking Billy Horschel if he's outside the top 50.
There's no way he is.
Is Todd? No, Todd isn't outside the top 50.
You can take Michael Thompson.
Oh, nice one.
Where's Todd?
He might be outside.
He's 39.
Oh.
That guy's just been so good. I can't believe you did this to me, Harv, with Norin. I should have known that you were going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't like the pick.
Because I was going to take him?
Yeah. You wanted Redmond last week. You missed the cut. Finau probably missed the cut.
Should I take Mr. Fleetwood Mac, Harry Higgs? No. I'm going to take Brian Harman.
Yeah. Oh, he was gonna be my pick.
He was solid this week, wasn't he? Like,
yep.
Top 10?
I think 8th. Yeah. I was going to take him, and then I went Siwoo instead.
Let's got get my to lefty. Randy's picks because...
Oh, here we go, Randy.
Going to dog the guy twice.
Randy gets to finish the pod with his picks.
Text was in all caps. You idiots better include these tonight. algorithm was in. 26, 23, 52 was spit out. 26 is Harry Higgs.
Nice.
23 is Tyrrell Hatton.
Wow.
And 52 is Kevin Na.
Fuck it. Hatton's making the trip over after a victory.
Wow. Could be tired.
He doesn't have to quarantine.
No quarantine, hey?
Perfect
I think that
place
was a Trump thing their athletes didn't have to.
Obviously.
Perfect place to go, though. Get a victory, go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Savvy.
Yeah, that's tough not to party with that. But, again, if Hatton pulls out due to COVID or anything like that.
Never know.
69, Michael Thompson, or 74, Gary Woodland. Get the call.
All right.
Not bad.
That's it. Episode 135 in the books. You guys got anything else?
I got to have one more drink still.
Oh, boy.
Pay off that bet.
Well, we still got to edit and post, so you might get it in. But that's it for us. We'll be back next week to recap CJ Cup and a bunch of other stuff. We don't have any rounds to talk about because we're done. Yeah. That's it.
Just have to get guests now all the time.
Yeah, bunch of guests. All right, until next week, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse. I can see clear.